One of the themes of the Lutheran Reformation and Martin Luther's teaching was the focus on the Word of God. How to receive the Word, how to live out that Word, how to share that Word. However, there's a major problem for James. Please take out the sermon notes that have been prepared for you. James tells us that there is a danger in your notes, the danger of self-deception. James says that we are to obey God's message. Do not fool yourselves by just listening to it. He emphasized it's easy. It's easy for us to deceive ourselves, even as believers, as good church attenders. It's possible for us to hear the word. It's possible for us to listen to the word and still fool ourselves, be deceived, the sin of self-deception. James says, if you think you are being religious, but you cannot control your tongue, you are only fooling yourself, and everything that you're doing is useless. Fooling yourself is self-deception. And there are two levels of fooling yourself in your relationships. In your notes, number one are those who think they're saved, but they are not. These are those who deceive in a relationship with God. See, God tells us about this vertical relationship. Jesus says, many of you say to me that in the last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils? And Jesus will say what? Depart from me. I never knew you. So it's possible for us to be deceived about our relationship to God, about being saved. And number two in your notes are those who think that they are spiritual, but they are not. Those are the ones who are deceiving in their relationship with other Christians. That's the horizontal relationship. It's possible to think that we are mature Christians when we're not so mature. So how can we get more from the Bible? In our horizontal relationships, marks of maturity are willingness to stand corrected by others, honesty in our dealings with others, transparency in sharing with one another, even in serving one another. So James tells us there are three responsibilities concerning the Bible. Number one in your notes, he says, receive the word in relationships. Receive God's word. It's very simple to understand. Just look at James 1, verses 19 to 21. My dear brothers, James writes, take note of this. Everyone who's be quick to listen, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So James gives us four things there as how to receive God's word. James wants a healthy environment, an environment that is receptive to the seed of God's word. Jesus himself talks about the seed of God's word being planted in good soil. So in order to receive God's word, number one in your notes, you have to be quick to listen. In other words, I must have a quick listening ear to the voice of God. How many times doesn't Jesus address the Pharisees? And he says, have you not heard? Of course they had heard. We know that the Pharisees knew the law of God well. They kept the law in every detail. They even wanted to argue the law. Yet Jesus realized that these men are not quick to listen to God's word. So Jesus would say to them repeatedly, have you not heard? Well, look at Proverbs 1:33. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. We must have an eagerness to listen to the message of God's word. Number two, in your notes to receive God's word, be slow to speak. In other words, one of the processes to hearing the word is to be slow to speak. Look at Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. A man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought-wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Usually when we spend time with God, though, we want to talk to God. We have all of our requests of God. We have all of our needs. So it's natural for us to tell God what we want and where we are. But think about how God made us. God made us with two ears and one mouth. I think God is making a statement that we better listen to. Do more listening and be slow to speak. Number three, thirdly in your notes, to receive God's word, James says, be slow to anger. See, James understands that anger is a very intense emotion. If it possesses our life to a high degree, we will simply not be in a learning mode or in a listening mode. We'll be venting. In anger, we will tell God how we feel, but we do not want to listen to God. So look at Proverbs 16:32. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes the city. In the Bible, the true hero was the man who controlled his temper, was not a slave to it. So it's not natural to be slow to anger. Then number four, in your notes to receive God's word, be rid of moral filth, James says. If we want to receive God's word, we need a clean life. We need to be rid of moral filth. See, in the original Greek, in your notes, filth literally means wax in the ear. So to receive God's word, we remove the wax in our ears. If you and I are filled with filthiness, we have our ears filled with wax. That means we are unable to hear what God has to say to us. We are with filth, literally plugging up the process of receiving the word of God. See, it means that sin desensitizes us. Sin allows us to not hear God's voice when he's speaking to us. See, James says, be humble, so you can accept the word planted in you. Humbly accept the word means in your notes to be teachable. One of the things that sin does is to create defensiveness in us, causes us to want to defend ourselves and no longer have a gentle and a teachable spirit. The word of God will be planted in us, James says. And James there is simply borrowing from Jesus' parable of the sower. Jesus compares God's word to the seed, compares the human heart to the soil. If you remember the parable, he talks about four kinds of hearts, four different kinds of soil for the seed to be planted in. On the back of your notes, number one, Jesus talks about the hard heart. Jesus is here talking about the heart that does not receive the seed that is planted. It bounces off, does not understand, nor does it receive the word. It therefore is fruitless. Number two, in your notes, Jesus talks about the shallow heart. A shallow heart is one that is very emotional, but it has no depth. It receives the seed for a moment, but when the emotions go away, there's no faith in God's promises, no action in obedience. Then in your notes, number three, thirdly, Jesus talks about a crowded heart. A crowded heart is full of sin, is surrounded by trials and temptation. This heart is a heart that permits sin to be crowd out the word of God. Our selfishness, our sinful desires, all will crowd out the seed of God's word and prevent us from growing strong. Then number four, and you notice Jesus talks about the fruitful heart. This is the heart that allows the seed of God's word to be planted inside, begins to grow, and bears fruit within our lives. Look at John 15, verse 7 and 8. Please read these verses with me together out loud. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. See, the key to describing God's living word is through two relationships. Number one, in your notes, the word describes our relationship, first of all, with Jesus. When we were baptized, we were given a relationship with Jesus. Christians continue that relationship with God through the word. God's living word also, however, describes in your notes. Number two, our relationship with other Christians. As we gather with Christians around the world, the seed of God's word grows strong, bearing much fruit. Together we are encouraged to obey God's command. James' first responsibility was to receive God's word in our relationships. Number two in your notes, James' second responsibility concerning the word of God in your notes, to live out the word of God in our relationships. James tells us that this is more difficult than the first. It's one thing simply to receive the word. It's one thing to hear the voice of God speaking. Yet it's an entirely different thing to live out the word of God in our lives. Look at James 1, verse 22 to 25. He writes, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away. Immediately he forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he hears, but doing it, he would be blessed in what he does." So James is now asking us to respond to the word of God. What's our tendency? What is our tendency when we are going through difficulties and darkness? What's our tendency when we have some deep trouble in our lives? Our tendency is to follow all of our emotions instead of following the word of God and God's promises. It's our tendency to focus on how we are feeling. Focusing on our feelings will often take us down the path that is not healthy. So James says the way to live out the word of God is simply to obey it. James points to three mistakes that we make when we're looking at God's mirror, the mirror of God's word. This will be very practical for all of us now. In your notes, when we look into the mirror of God's word, number one, we often glance at ourselves. We only glance at ourselves. It is possible that when we look into the mirror, we're not really looking. We don't really see ourselves. We go by it so quickly, we just make a glance at it and we move on. Therefore, we do not really know what we should be doing in order to obey it. In fact, when you came to church, it's probably safe to assume that you all looked into a mirror before you got here. Well, some of you could look a little longer, but that's all right. We all look, though. James is saying that for us to hear the word of God and to obey the word of God, we must look intently into that word. To only glance at the word, you are not really learning anything from it. You are really deceiving yourselves. Number two in your notes, the second mistake when looking into the mirror of God's word, that when we look, we forget what we see, James says. Not only do we only glance, but we also forget what we see. We literally look into the mirror. It doesn't impress us. We forget what we are, what we see. When we look into the word of God, often it begins to reflect on us, what we are and who we are. As God's creation, also what our needs are for eternal security. How many of you have been reading the word of God? You suddenly say, "I wish I hadn't read that." When you read the word of God, you see the law of God there too. And it quickly begins to reflect the sin in our lives. We are confronted with things that we neglect to do as God's children. See, the law of God simply shows us our sin. It's like getting up in the morning, looking into the mirror, and we pray out loud, "God, you got a miracle to do today." James tells us that the word of God is that mirror. Isaiah, when he said, looking at God, looking into the mirror of God's word, said, "Woe is me." In other words, he said, "I'm in trouble." Now the gospel, however, is God's good news. The gospel shows us our Savior. Jesus suffered and died on the cross for each of us. He washes away the dirt in our lives. The law of God shows us our sin. A human way of dealing with it, our sin, is simply to try to forget it. God's way of dealing with our sin is to give His Son, the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice for us. By the blood of the Lamb, we have a forgiveness of all of our sins. First mistake, we glance at ourselves. Second mistake, forget what we see. Number three in your notes, we confuse hearing with doing. James says that it's good that we are hearing it, maybe even taking some notes. We are listening to the message of God's word. But there is that next step. We're to take that word of God home with us. We are to begin doing it, applying it to our lives. For some people, those church doors in the back and the rear of the church are like giant erasers. As we leave, it wipes us clean. Everything we've just learned, you're blanks when you enter the world. I have attended local football games over the years. I get to talk to the many spectators in the stands. I don't talk to many of the players. The players are on the field playing. Spectators are in the stands or going to for refreshments. Many church members are like the passive spectators, sitting in the stands week after week. Some members are described as being infected with a disease, disease that we call spectatorism. Spectatorism generally creates flabby and weak, spoon-fed believers. Where yes, they've grown old, but they haven't grown up in the Lord. They know more about church history than about evangelism. So how can we get more from our Bibles? And you know, it's 3 points to remember. We get more from our Bibles when we remember 10%. We remember 10% of what we hear. That's only 10%. Number two, we remember 50%, though, of what we hear and what we see, 50%. And number three, note this, we remember 90%. 90% of what we hear and what we see and what we do. So James tells us, receive the word of God. We are to, then, number two, live out the word of God. Number three in your notes, the third responsibility concerning the word of God, share the word of God in our relationships. James calls us to share the word. Look at James 1, 26 and 27. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. His religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And Lorna this morning gave us an opportunity. We conclude with two ways that we can share the Word of God. In your notes, number one, we share the Word of God with our speech. What we say and what we do not say enables us to share God's message. And number two, we share God's word through our serving. Many an unchurched person has publicly declared that before they can believe in our God, they must see him through the acts of love and kindness, acts of forgiveness and mercy in our own lives. Francis of Assisi once said, "We are all as Christians to preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." Amen.